guys. Welcome to another episode of the Marin Savvy Podcast. My name is John Bautista. I'm your co-host for today. And we're going to bring on Kim to talk about anger and identifying anger and its expressions and maybe even some of the consequences. Like, truth be told, everybody experiences anger. But sometimes we don't even know what it's telling us about ourselves, about our relationship, or about each other. So I'm excited for today's episode. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Hey Kim, welcome back to the show. I'm excited that you're here today. And before we dive into our topic about anger, its expressions, and even some of the consequences, I do have just a quick question. I recently heard that technically therapists could fire their clients. Have you ever fired a client before?
Have I ever fired a client?
Exactly. Fired a client. Have you ever fired a client?
You're trying to stir up trouble. I can see it in your eyes. I have fired clients.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hard. That's not fun. Those aren't fun.
I don't think clients know that can happen.
Oh, yeah. It can, and they can fire us too. I've been fired and I have fired.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So.
What happened?
The clients that I fire. When I fire a client, it's really, well, sometimes I do it therapeutically. Like I'm trying to shake them up. You know what I mean? Like this is serious and you guys aren't working. So. And sometimes that's worked and sometimes they're like, F you and walk out the door and it's over. I'm thinking that didn't work so well. But when I fire a couple, it's because they're stuck. Either they're stuck, so stuck. And I don't think that I can help them anymore. And I want them to go get help from somebody that can help them. And so I'll give them referrals and hopefully they'll use that. But most of the time it's just, they are so stuck in their patterns and inflexible and unwilling to take a different perspective that it just makes the work impossible. It just makes it impossible. So if, like, for example, if you have a client that's got a personality disorder,
yeah,
it's really hard to get traction.
I bet, yeah.
In the therapy room with somebody who's really got some strong personality issues.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. So you would fire a client if a client is unwilling to do the work to where the therapeutic relationship is not helping the client.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Or they're just so stuck in their pattern. So I've the ones that are just really awful to work with because they're so dysfunctional or unaware of their dysfunction and not willing to work on it. But I have had a couple that I fired that I hated firing. I really liked them and I was cheering for them, but I think they both needed a wake up call and just so much in their pattern and so much anger on both sides with childish behavior around the anger and not willing to grow themselves up in those ways.
That must have been pretty hard. I mean, if you like that somebody,
was hard.
Yeah,
I still think about them every week and wonder how they're doing and question whether I prematurely fire them, but I think about them a lot and worry about them. But that brings me to something I think is, you know, I've been wanting to talk about on this, and that is anger in relationships and the way partners express it to each other and how much damage that can do in a relationship. You know, most of us, I mean, we learned so much about anger from our family of origin and how we were raised.
Yeah.
With anger. And I don't know about you, but in my house, growing up, there was one person who was allowed to be really angry. And everybody else had to tiptoe around that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, and that's not uncommon for people to grow up with different models for anger. And so the two that you see the most often, the two extremes are for it to come out really hot and you know, kind of unhealthy discharge, right? Mm-hmm. So it might be loud, it might be violent, it might be that raging kind of sense.
It sounds aggressive.
Aggressive, yes. And the other way is this silent, cut off, withdrawal, not speaking to the people in the house. Mm-hmm. And so both can be extremely damaging. And so when you experience anger like that growing up, that's how you show it in your marriage relationship later too.
Yeah. And just from my personal upbringing, I saw that anger was always pretty aggressive, pretty loud. Mm-hmm. Like voices were raised, words were said. And so, I've definitely just experienced it as like an unhealthy discharge, but you're saying that people can be angry and it can express itself as coldness.
Yeah.
Avoidant.
Mm-hmm. Ignoring, shut down, shut out, withdrawing, kind of this punitive withdrawing. Mm. In fact, I had one client who didn't even, when he was angry, he wouldn't look at his partner. I mean, he never made eye contact, wouldn't use her name.
Oh, wow.
She just was not there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when we experience anger like that, when we engage in anger like that, right? It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to the person who is angry, and mm-hmm. it doesn't feel good to the person who's receiving the anger. Mm-hmm. And so you learn that anger's bad, or let's avoid it, or let's not go there.
Yeah.
Let's do anything we can to not go there. And so that's what creates these negative cycles. Right. So we'll be doing okay. Something will happen. Somebody will get activated or start to feel hurt or afraid or whatever. And they'll get angry. And then mm-hmm. the other person goes, oh no, here we go. There's that thing that's coming that I don't like.
Yeah.
Right. And they'll start tiptoeing around it, or they'll be like, well, if you're going to be angry, I'm just going to blow this whole thing up now too. And let's just go at it, you know, and throw down right here. And so, but nothing gets really resolved. You just kind of get past the anger, and then you kind of pretend, and then you wake up one day and you're like, okay again. And then the cycle just repeats.
Yeah.
But all the while the anger is still there. It's still sitting between you, but nobody knows how to handle it or what to do with it. Hmm. That's kind of the nuance of couples work, is learning how to manage, navigate, and handle this space. And so we talked last year about Julie Minano's book, Secure Love.
Yes.
And she talks a lot about attachment injuries, attachment patterns in couples. And I love that book. I use it a lot in therapy with my clients. And she also has a podcast about the book that I recommend people go look at or listen to. But she talks about how anger can be addressed differently in relationships. It's really fascinating.
Like one partner expressing it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So for you to get to this place where anger is not a weapon anymore or a barrier to connection, you can make space for the anger. What's the anger trying to tell you? Because it's helpful. Anger tells you a couple things. It tells you, one, there's still hope. Mm. There's still hope. Because if the relationship, if there wasn't hope in it, people don't get angry in those situations. They just let go. So it tells you there's hope, and it tells you that something needs to change. Something that you're experiencing, something that you're seeing, whether it's in you or in your partner, that it causes your body to not feel good. It causes your mind to start thinking that something's not right. And you go to a place that brings up anger. And so it's learning what is going on in the dynamic that needs to change, either something your partner needs to change or something you need to change in how you're thinking about it or looking at it, so that you can work through it and not just push it aside and ignore it.
Yeah.
So anger is really valuable, but you have to make space for it. Julie asks in the podcast, this one person's really angry, and she's like, what's your anger trying to tell you? If you gave your anger a voice, what is it saying to you? Mm-hmm. And the client said, it's saying that I'm afraid you're going to leave me. She says, anger and fear go hand in hand. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid my partner's going to reject me. Isn't going to want me. Isn't going to see me or want to be with me, or is going to let me down. And so those are some pretty important ideas or concepts to have to wrestle around. And so teaching clients when they come in to do couples work that the only way through these difficult conversations is to learn how to walk through them. And that is giving anger a place at the table. Hmm. Let's not ignore it and push it under anymore. Let's really make space for it. And the only way you can do that, and here's when I will fire a couple, is when you cannot regulate or co-regulate enough to be able to have these conversations, even about the anger, in a way that's respectful, mm-hmm. so that your partner can receive it. And your partner also has to be willing to receive it. And sometimes they can't, even if it comes out really respectfully. Some people can't hold the discomfort, mm-hmm. and you'll have to do some work around that. But just being willing to show up and learn these things and learn how to do this with each other, I mean, that's the nuance of the work.
Yeah. You know, that's so interesting. You know, I recently had a client who expressed anger in an unhealthy way, mm-hmm. and it actually scared their partner. Yeah. So much so that this person vowed to never get angry again. And because of that, their relationship ended up in couples counseling, because one person didn't necessarily have hope anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a sense of fighting for the relationship. And we learned that if that person would have given anger a voice or space, a place at the table, then maybe they could have worked through something on why this anger was coming out and what the couple could have worked through in order to navigate it in a healthy way.
Yeah. So I see this dynamic play out a lot. And honestly, this was the dynamic in my marriage early on too. So I was the anxious attached person. And my husband was more of the avoider type person. Now, when an avoider's angry, they will get quiet. And they will withdraw. They may not, it may not look punitive. It may not be a, I'm not speaking to you, but they'll go silent. Well, that feels like abandonment. And if you're somebody that's anxiously and securely attached, that's your biggest fear, is being left and being abandoned, right? Yeah. And people who are anxious attached, they will often, we call it angry pursuit. They're so angry at their partner. I see this all the time. So angry at their partner, but not because they don't want their partner to be around. It's because they're not getting what they want from their partner. Mm. And it's like a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum, right? It's like the 2-year-old doesn't want their mother to go away. It's like, just give me what I want because I'm hurting. I'm in pain, or I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or whatever, right? And yeah. So it's exactly that way with this insecure attached partner. And so I would be furious with my husband at the slightest thing. I mean, he'd be like, what the hell did I do or say? What, you know, what in the world is wrong with you? And I would just be livid because I had been hurt in my mind, made up a story about it, mm-hmm. which usually involved, you don't love me enough. Mm. If you loved me more, you would.
Wow. So you were afraid. There was some fear.
Oh, yeah.
That they didn't love you as much as you would hope they would.
Julie says anger and fear go hand in hand often, and I believe that. Hmm. I believe if you're really angry in your relationship, you're really afraid of something.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So they're feeling unsafe then, right? I mean,
sure, or disappointed or let down. Or, I mean, for me, I was constant cycle of disappointment and let down. Hmm. Yeah, which felt like abandonment, which felt like I'm really in this alone. And if I'm going to be in this alone, then I'm going to be alone. Wow. And I'm going to be alone because I'm going to scorch the earth, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come out hot.
Mm-hmm. You know, the helpful thing that you said earlier, that really kind of made me say, you know what? I think we need to go back to that, is that anger is telling you something. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think that anger is something that they should not feel.
Sure.
But what would you tell people that either think that or feel that in some kind of way, that anger is something that we shouldn't feel because it's so negative, or because it either detaches me or motivates me to scorch the earth. They want to avoid it completely. Like, what would you say to somebody that has that perspective?
I'd say learn how to handle your anger so it's helpful, not hurtful. because it can be extremely helpful. You know, your body experiences pain when something's wrong.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And nobody wants to experience pain. That's not fun, but you need the information. You need to know that something's wrong in your body. I have a splinter I didn't know about. There's an infection brewing, you know, right. I've got a stomach bug, so I'm throwing up all the time. Like,
right.
The pain is telling you that you need to be alerted to something. Well, anger is the same way. And so it's not bad. It's very helpful. It's telling you boundaries are being crossed. It's telling you the relationship needs attention. It's telling you that you need to do some housekeeping in your emotions, with your emotional state, or the way your mind is thinking through things. And so anger is very helpful if you learn how to manage it wisely. The problem is most of us don't know what to do with it because we're so afraid of it, or because it was modeled so badly for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, when I was younger, I used to pride myself in saying, I don't ever get angry. And as I've realized over the years, there were a lot of things that I did get angry over. I just chose to, in some sense, invalidate myself and say, I don't need to be feeling that.
Avoidance do that a lot. I'm not saying you're avoidant, but I'm saying that avoidance will do that a lot, because I'm not worth it, or it's not worth it, or, you know, I don't deserve to have whatever, whatever. And so you'll use anger to stifle and shut yourself down, minimize.
Wow. I mean, I would definitely say that I'm anxiously attached. So for people that don't know what that might mean is if there is disconnection, if I feel a detached sense in my relationships, I tend to go in. I tend to move towards to try to figure out and like repair something, because I don't want to be abandoned. Just like you said, you know, it's fear of somebody leaving you, in some sense. So that's just kind of my.
Yeah. And so I see a lot of women in particular who are, who pursue with anger, you know, they'll get so mad when their partner acts in ways they don't understand or know. You know, Mel Robbins did a podcast, and she's got a book out. Everybody's talking about it now. The Let Them Theory. Do you know about the Let Them Theory?
No, what is that?
Oh, for real? You do? Do you not?
No.
Ah, it's good. It is good. She talks about people are going to do things that are hurtful or disappointing. And if you want peace in your life, you have to just let them. You have to let people be and do and think what they're going to think and feel and say, and don't get too worked up in or angry or reactive when people act in ways that don't align with what you want them to do.
Kim, that sounds like differentiation.
Doesn't it though?
It does. Yeah.
She calls it let them. We say differentiation.
Yeah.
It's how to have better peace by just letting people be who they are. Now, her take on it is, once you let them, then let me, meaning I might have to make certain decisions based on that. Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whenever people make their own decisions, we have to say, all right, this is the information that I got from this experience. Mm-hmm. Right. And who you are to me. And this is what I will choose to respond with.
But what she's really saying, what good old Mel's really saying, she didn't ask me what I think, but I'll tell you. What she's really saying is let them, it means stay regulated.
Yeah.
Stay regulated. Don't let your anger be unhelpful, because it's going to just blow this thing up and it's going to be hurtful to you and to everyone around you. So let them. It doesn't mean you're going to stay in relationship with someone. It doesn't mean you won't. It just means stay regulated. And with couples, whether you want to call it differentiation or let them or whatever, it's just, how do we co-regulate so that we can talk through things? Even the fact that one of the most impactful conversations I ever had with my husband, I'll never forget it. It was in Boulder, Colorado. I was on a training there. And I was livid. I was so mad at him for something that he did again and again and again. And oh my goodness, he did it again. And I looked at him, and we were in the car. He was driving. We were in a parking lot, and I turned to him, and I was ready to just, and I just said, you did this and you said you wouldn't do this again, and you did it. And he looked at me and he goes, I sure did. And it was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I was expecting this pushback. And it was like the he took a pen and popped the anger balloon. All the wind came rushing out of that. And I was like, oh, what do I do with that? You know, it was like, well, okay. You know, and so, but I was able to say, it's not okay that you did it. I was feeling anger. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I should have been angry. Not angry enough to divorce him or get out of the car and slam the door. I'm not saying we were going there, but I'm saying I was pretty mad. And the relationship, he was able to hold space for that. I was able to say, look, this is not okay. And I am mad. Yeah. And he said, and you should be, and you're right. And I'm sorry. Mm. And so two things happened there. I was able to express my anger and do it in a somewhat healthy way. I can't really remember the details of all of that, but I'm guessing it was somewhat healthy. And he was able to receive that and respond accordingly. And we co-regulated. Mm. We co-regulated. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Now, differentiation, right? So if I had said to him, look, I'm angry. This is wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And he had said, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You're making stuff up again. I might have scorched the earth then. Quite honestly, I might have, right?
Yeah.
But if I can keep my cool and hold on to it, then we have a different way to have a conversation, though. We still don't have to burn the whole thing down.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the same way that John had a choice to react or respond, I mean, he chose to respond and not react. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people may not be aware of how defensiveness comes up whenever something is being exposed or being pointed out. And because of that, they don't give the person the opportunity to voice their anger, to let the person state why this is coming up for them.
Well, and you know, you and I have talked before about anger having showing there's hope in anger.
Yeah.
Well, where's the hope in that situation? Well, if I didn't want to be in a relationship with my husband, if I didn't want to be close to him, if I didn't want to have a loving relationship, these things wouldn't make me angry. There's the hope. Mm. The hope is I'm still in it and he's still in it. And that's why we're struggling. There's the hope. It's hard to see that sometimes when the anger comes at you.
Yeah, I can definitely sense that in some of my clients that at times to where they're so frustrated, so discouraged, so angry that they're wondering, like, is this even possible?
Yeah. Yeah. So anger is this big thing in the room. And sometimes we have to have room for each couple, each person in the room and their anger. Sometimes there's five of us at the table. But yes, I have fired couples, and I don't like doing it, but sometimes I have, and sometimes I've been fired by couples.
Yeah.
And that's always a mistake. I'm just kidding.
Leaving space for our emotions, even some of the negative ones that we don't like to feel. And sometimes we don't like seeing our partners feel them. Like, that's just the truth. We don't like seeing our partners or the people that we care about in distress. And so that's going to take a lot of self-work, guys. I'm going to be honest. And even though we struggle, it's always worth it, because when we do, we take care of each other as well as taking care of ourselves. Guys, that's today's show. And we hope to see you on the next episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast. Peace.